You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, our broadcast last Thursday sure struck a chord. I've received letters about radio-controlled model airplanes, helicopters, and even gyrocopters, or gyro whatever they're called, gyro airplanes. I have received a whole bunch of email on the subject. In fact, it turned out to be so popular that we put a link from our website to all the different places on the internet that we could find concerning radio control model airplanes, helicopters, and rockets, and all of the other things in between. And so we hope that you'll take advantage of that. And we have on the advice of callers and letter writers and people who sent us email, purchased the Senior Telemaster. That is, we've ordered it. We have not received it yet. And it will be here sometime this week. And we're all very excited about it. Can't wait to get it and open the box and look at it and start going. And Pooh is very excited, and so is little Allison. of course, we're going to get everybody involved in this whole project, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I guess you've all heard by now that Newt, the great salamander of the House of Representatives, has declared that he is not going to run again for Speaker of the House. In fact, he has bought the whole baloney story, hook, line, and sinker, and he wants to resign from Congress. Well, I say good riddance. Really, good riddance. He's just a socialist Democrat in disguise. He's a New Ager, has been all his life. He was not for constitutional Republican government or freedom or any of those things. And it's going to be very interesting to see what transpires now. After this last election, the Republicans still came out in control of the House and the Senate, and somehow the Democrats have turned that into some kind of a great victory. And now they're saying that they're not going to impeach the president and all of this kind of stuff based on that election. Folks, this is the biggest crock of crap I have ever, well, it's not the biggest I've ever seen or heard of, but it's way up there. It's really close. This is insanity, just like the rest of it. There was no defeat for the Republicans. And the only people who were defeated once again, except where the body was elected as governor of a state, the loser is the people of America. Because the Republicans aren't going to return us to constitutional Republican government, no matter what they say. They've been lying to us for years. You've been believing everything they say instead of watching everything that they do. If you watch what they do instead of listening to what they say, well, then you might have discovered something. You see, belonging to a party doesn't mean anything in this country. All it means is you're being sucked in to voting socialist no matter who you vote for. And you better learn that real quick. If you want to stay free, if you want to live in a free country, if you want constitutional or Republican government that will protect the individual rights of all people, then you had better learn how to vote American. Forget parties, forget affiliations, forget all of that crap. Vote for the people who will return us to constitutional Republican government and stop this police state in its tracks. And if you can't do that, then there's only one avenue left open to us. That's the avenue given to us by the Founding Fathers in the second article in amendment to the Constitution through the force of arms. And I think that's where it's a bit eventually going to end up anyway. I really do. I regret it. I hate it. I don't like it. I don't want it. But the alternative is to become a slave in a socialist, one-world totalitarian government. And I'd rather do anything than that. Anything at all. So, folks, you better hang on. It's going to be a rough ride. Real rough ride. In fact, it's going to get rougher and rougher. It's going to get downright dangerous. A lot of people are going to get hurt before this is over. And it won't be our fault. The meat of tonight's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, was written by L. Neil Smith. And I want you to pay very close attention to it. Because it's my sentiments exactly. And if I know anything about my audience, I think it's probably yours also. You may remember the way that at the start of Robert Heinlein's novel, Methuselah's Children, a secret gathering of the exceptionally long-lived Howard families began with the hero Lazarus Long assuming the chairmanship on the grounds that he was the oldest individual present. Well, I've been an active libertarian for 36 years last month, which I suspect makes me the senior libertarian at this gathering, presumably full of mature wisdom. Not to mention a great many other things I'm sure that several of you are practically bursting to bring up. Mature wisdom. Heinlein also asked us in the notebooks of Lazarus Long, as I recall, if we'd ever noticed how often mature wisdom resembles just being too tired. Ayn Rand said something very like that, too, and I certainly qualify on those grounds as well. You see, I'm tired. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of living with a government that, in the name of making the world safer for democracy, took a young, religious, conscientious objector during World War I, a kid who was willing to do everything the army required of him, but wear a uniform and kill the people they'd picked out for him to kill. And they hung him by his shackled wrists in the deepest dungeon at Leavenworth, standing in a foot of icy water in the dead of Kansas winter. They let him die of pneumonia and then buried him in a uniform before his mother could arrive to claim his body. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of living with a government which at the end of a war widely advertised as having been fought to obliterate fascism forever, nevertheless agreed to round up 2 million Russian refugees in France and elsewhere in Europe at the end of that war, crowded them into boxcars exactly as Hitler had done to the Jews, and sent them back to Stalin, who had them all shot to death within a few hours of their arrival. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of living with a government that smashed its way into the Utah homes of Mormon polygamists in the 1950s, people harming no one by practicing their First Amendment right to freedom of religion, sorted out the women and children and made them pose for humiliating photographs with numbered cards around their necks, while imprisoning their menfolk until they signed statements making bastards of their children. I'm tired. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of living with a government that, sliming its way from one sleazy justification to another, every day for 51 days, confined, terrorized, tortured, poison-gassed, machine-gunned, and then incinerated 80 innocent individuals, 24 of them beautiful little children, in broad daylight, on national television, and not only got away with it, but prosecuted the survivors, and, when they were acquitted, sent them to prison anyway for what will likely be the rest of their lives. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of carrying around the knowledge that a crooked federal judge imprisoned that handful of innocent acquitted victims of state terrorism to keep the government from being put on trial in his courtroom. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of knowing that another crooked federal judge in Idaho this time, deliberately set a killer loose to kill again for his vile masters, and that what he's expected to kill for them, fully as much as any innocent women or babies he happens to find in his high-powered rifle's crosshairs, are the very things every American would most like to believe about himself, his country, and his children's future. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of waking up in the middle of the night, or not being able to get to sleep at all, worried about a gang of masked thugs in black body armor smashing into my house, brutalizing my family, crushing my pets under their jackbooted feet, laughing and stealing anything they want, with no legal obligation to give it back ever, even when it turns out that we're all innocent, because they happened to disapprove of something I wrote or simply got the wrong address. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of having it back there all the time in the corner of my mind, whether I want it there or not, that I should really hide all the possessions I treasure most, possessions I like most to display in my home for everyone to see and enjoy, and even worse, to find some hole to bury my family and myself in order to survive another year or two in what was once the freest country in history and in the world. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of being considered some kind of criminal or dangerous throwback for no other reason than that I value, exercise, and defend my rights under the first 10 amendments to the Constitution for the United States of America. I'm tired. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of being portrayed as a perverted monster for passing on to my daughters what my father passed on to me, the love of deeply blued steel and richly polished walnut, the smell of hops number 9, the proper way to align the sights, breathe correctly, squeeze, don't jerk that trigger, and hold solid as the sear breaks, the weapon bellows, and the delicious aroma of smokeless powder wafts back to you on the breeze. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of being treated as some kind of lunatic or villain, even by some members of my own family, even by some members of my own party and political movement, because all I want or ever wanted is to give people back control over their own lives and to live out my life in the land of liberty that I was promised as a child. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of living with a government that's supposed to be, above all, subject to 10 laws that were supposed to make all of these travesties and atrocities unthinkable and impossible. 10 laws that were supposed to shield me and my family from the kind of oppression my ancestors once fled from in Europe. 10 laws that were supposed to let me know where I stand and what the rules are. 10 laws that were supposed to let me and every other American think, say, do, and be whatever we wish without filling out a single form or asking anyone's permission. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of having to fight for my rights every day in a country where those rights were supposed to have been guaranteed. When what I want to be doing, what I ought to be doing, after 36 mind-numbing years, is enjoying my one true profession and my family. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of living in a culture where the police are a greater danger to innocent civilians than they are to real criminals, many of whom give the police their orders, and where the military is a far greater threat to the people of America than it is to any enemy overseas. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of living with a government that terrorizes, bullies, beats up, tortures, and kills more and more individuals every day, here and abroad, and does it in my name and at my involuntary expense. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of living in a culture where you're considered lucky if you're allowed to register your name and social security number, surrender your fingerprints, provide your photograph and the serial number of your weapon, visit a psychiatrist, endure endless hours of expensive, useless instruction at the feet of some mercantilist parasite who lobbied for the legislation in the first place, and finally pay a whopping fee in order to exercise a right with which you were born. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm even more tired of the dull-witted individuals and corrupt organizations who claim self-righteously to support and defend the Second Amendment, and at the same time give their wholehearted, enthusiastic support to such blatant abrogation of my unalienable rights. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of paying rent to the county on a home I bought and paid for. I'm tired of paying rent on my own life to the Internal Revenue Service and Social Security Administration. I'm tired of watching the government take a slice of everything I earn or possess, even though all they ever do is get in the way and make it more and more impossible to live every day. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of being lied to by government, by the media, and by every corporation I have anything to do with. I'm tired of always being on the losing side because I refuse to lie. I refuse to cheat. I refuse to steal. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of no one being considered a real-life hero unless they're forcing some poor, helpless, broken creature eke out another miserable moment of existence while those who help to make life possible for productive individuals are reviled as exploiters and profiteers. I'm tired of living in a police state. I'm tired of being considered property. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, when the government can tell you what drugs you can take, what drugs you can't take, and what drugs you must take, when the government can define the circumstances under which you may or may not obtain, own, or carry weapons, when the government can force you to surrender your children, the sweet hope of your heart, to indoctrination centers where they'll be transformed into your bitter political enemies. When the government can tell you that you have to sign up for military slavery, when the government can tell you that you must have that baby, those are assertions of a property right. See, the question is not whether or not abortion is right or wrong. The federal government has no business telling anyone how to handle that question either way. It's not in the Constitution for the United States of America. I'm tired of living in a police state. I am tired. And I'm tired of a world where being the property of the fascist dictatorship that America has become is the best thing that anyone can hope for. I'm tired of living in a police state. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm tired. I am very, very sick and tired of being tired.
Let's find ourselves some old acquaintance.
Are you tired of living in a police state? Are you, folks? L. Neal Smith also wrote this. For those of you on the internet, you go to our webpage, harvest-trust.org, and click on the Bill of Rights Enforcement logo there. You can get all this material right off our website. I put it up there today. Here's what he says. Are you tired of living in a police state? I am, but after 36 years of political activism, I know exactly what to do about it. Now all I have to do is convince you to help me. You see, here's a libertarian, ladies and gentlemen, who has discovered exactly what's written in the American Crises brief, which is also on the internet, on our website, harvest-trust.org. He puts it a little differently, but it's the same. He doesn't want to take any personal risk by drawing a line in the sand and saying no more. What he wants is to make a movement called the Bill of Rights Enforcement. So I'm going to read this to you, then we're going to talk about it. It needs to be discussed. He says, and this time we're going to do it right. The key to the future we all look forward to can be found in four words, Bill of Rights Enforcement. Bill of Rights Enforcement. Many years ago, I was a member of two Libertarian Party National Platform Committees, 1977 and 1979, two Libertarian Party National Platform Committees that produced the most radical platforms that the party had ever seen and tragically would ever see. The platforms that the NERF libertarians presently running what's left of the party are most embarrassed by and have been chipping away at hysterically in the fear that other people might mistakenly believe they really stand for something besides collecting campaign contributions and doling them out to themselves as consultant fees. Bill of Rights Enforcement. I'm as radical as libertarians come. I've proven it again and again over 36 years of activism. But let me tell you now that if the first 10 amendments, commonly known as the Bill of Rights, were fully and stringently enforced like the highest law of the land they happen to be, any difference between the new America that would give rise to and the new America that would have been created by those radical libertarian party platforms would only be a matter of fine-tuning. Bill of Rights Enforcement. And the advantage is that unlike those platforms, the original radical libertarian document on which this nation was founded, the Bill of Rights, has all the respectability, all the historical cash, all the time-honored tradition any suit and tie could possibly wish for. Now, throw in the fact I mentioned a paragraph or two ago that it's already the highest law of the land, something to be enforced, something for which you, meaning them, can be thrown in jail for breaking. Bill of Rights enforcement. So what do we do about it? Well, for starters, from this moment forward, never let a day pass without writing those words, Bill of Rights enforcement, at least once, preferably over the internet or in paper correspondence with some sitting politician or political candidate. Bill of Rights enforcement. From this moment forward, never let a day pass without saying those words, Bill of Rights enforcement, at least once, preferably on the telephone to an aluminum siding salesman or a radio talk show host. Bill of Rights enforcement. Our future, our very survival depends on making those four words, Bill of Rights enforcement, the widest spread catchphrase in history. Bill of Rights enforcement. No sitting politician or candidate should be able to make an appearance without being asked where he stands on Bill of Rights enforcement. Bill of Rights enforcement. No worldwide website anywhere should be without the Bill of Rights enforcement logo, which I'll have on my Webley page about the time you get home on its opening screen beside the free speech blue ribbon. Bill of Rights enforcement. No sidewalk should be without a t-shirt or two echoing the same idea. Bill of Rights enforcement. No car bumper or pickup truck window should be without the same logo. Bill of Rights enforcement. No storefront should be without that symbol displayed proudly in the window along with the words, "We are a Bill of Rights enforcement establishment." Bill of Rights enforcement. There's no need for a national libertarian political party, a good thing because we no longer have one, or for any other kind of group activity, when enough of us acting on our own have saturated this culture with the idea politicians of every stripe will be stumbling all over themselves to get aboard the Bill of Rights enforcement bandwagon. Bill of Rights enforcement. Which is a good thing because by then, and it could be no more than a year or two from now, the most important, perhaps the only criterion by which any politician, including judges and prosecutors, and why not throw in television, radio, and newspaper commentators as well, will be evaluated on his position on Bill of Rights enforcement. Bill of Rights enforcement. And we'll have taken an important, unprecedented, and with any luck at all, irreversible first step to reclaiming the nation we always wished America could be for ourselves and for our children's future. And then perhaps I won't be quite so tired. Thank you. Join the Bill of Rights enforcement movement now. L. Neal Smith, ladies and gentlemen, is a novelist and political essayist. He is the award-winning author of The Probability Brooch, Palace, Henry Martin and Bretha Martin, and 15 other novels, as well as publisher of The Libertarian Enterprise. And you can go to our website at harvest-trust.org, and you'll find links to this information and his website. You'd like to be a part of that. Now, I think anything is worth trying if it is back toward constitutional republican government. As promised to us in Article 4 of the Constitution for the United States of America. And so we have made our website a Bill of Rights enforcement website. And we want you all to join this movement also, understanding that without a lot of other knowledge and without Constitution for the United States of America enforcement, the Bill of Rights enforcement means nothing. The Bill of Rights only have applicability if the Constitution is in effect, and if it has effect as the supreme law of the land. And I'm here to tell you right now, it is not, and it does not. Not in the states, anyway. The federal government has seriously, ladies and gentlemen, subverted the Constitution for the United States of America. For all intents and purposes, in the nation of cooperative federalism wherein which we live today, the Constitution does not serve to protect the citizens of the several states. In fact, it doesn't protect anybody, except those who consider themselves to be our masters, and it's only put into effect when they wish it to be in effect. So I see these things all the time, and while the thought behind them is noble and good, and while we are willing to help in this effort, the American people are going to have to work. It's not that easy, you see, of putting up a sign saying Bill of Rights Enforcement Establishment, or this is a Bill of Rights Enforcement website, or calling your congressman and asking him if he supports the enforcement of the Bill of Rights. What do you think he's going to tell you? He's going to tell you whatever he thinks you want to hear, as he has always done on every issue and every subject since he became a liar. And are you going to use that as a as a test of whom you will vote for? Oh, Joe Jones, I understand you're running for the Senate. And I'm going to tell you, you can't have my vote unless you promise to join our movement of Bill of Rights enforcement and enforce the Bill of Rights. What do you think he's going to tell you, folks? He's going to tell you, oh, absolutely, I support the Constitution for the United States of America, and I support Bill of Rights enforcement. And you're going to vote for this nut, this liar, that he's going to go to Congress, and he's going to do whatever the hell he's told to do by his party leadership, regardless of what he has told you, and you all damn well know it. You see, old Congressman Joe has never read the Constitution or the first 10 amendments known as the Bill of Rights, and hasn't got the slightest clue what it even says to begin with. If he did, and if he really cared about the nation and about the state and the people whom he was sent to Washington to serve, he would turn us back to constitutional republican government. He would rein in the escaped dragon called the Fed and put it back in its cage and lock the door. But they're not doing that. They are propelling us toward one world socialist totalitarian government. So while all these things sound good, Bill of Rights enforcement, ladies and gentlemen, I like much better, I'm tired of living in a police state. Because that's where it's at. And until we're all tired enough, and until we're all willing to draw a line in the sand and say, thus far and no farther, and in fact, you better start backing up and be willing to die in support of that statement. You can have a Bill of Rights enforcement movement to which every single person in the entire world belongs and takes an oath to support, and you will still end up in a socialist, totalitarian, new world order. One world government. You see, lying today is okay. When are you going to learn that? Nothing you use as a yardstick to measure candidates today is going to change anything until you're ready and willing to draw a line and die for freedom. Until you're ready and willing to do that, you cannot have freedom. You cannot be free. You will never be free. You are fooling yourselves. This peace, love, and understanding bullshit is exactly that. Bullshit. You know what that really translates to? You know what it really means? Peace, love, and understanding means don't make waves. It means don't go against the status quo. It means don't draw a line in the sand. Don't resist. Allow tyranny to have its way. Or else you're not engaged in peace, love, and understanding. Peace, love, and understanding has never been the way of the world. We all wish that it could be. The thing you had better understand, and you had better understand it well, is that there are people out there who understand you better than you understand yourself. Peace, as defined by Marx and Lenin, is the elimination of all opposition to socialism. This love moniker, this love buzzword, that you're supposed to love everybody, no matter who they are, or what they say, or what they do, or how filthy, or dirty, or foul-mouthed, or stinking, rotten criminal. Is baloney. Now, I believe in the teachings of a man called Jesus, who said, love thy neighbor as thyself. And notice what I said, ladies and gentlemen. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, you know, ladies and gentlemen, exactly why that is not happening, and why exactly you cannot love your neighbor, is because most of you do not even come close to loving yourself. It is the status of the world in which we live, that until we love ourselves, we can never love anybody else, and that's the truth. This is a sick world full of sick people who do not love themselves or anybody or anything else and are bent upon destruction, enslavement, who thirst for power and will stop at nothing to get it. They disguise their machinations under all kinds of different banners and slogans and things that sound good, because they know if they put out their true agenda for everyone to see, no one would jump in behind them and follow them into their new world utopian government. It wouldn't happen. And that's why this world government has never been defined. The closest you can get to it is the United Nations, which has so many things wrong with it, anyone who wanted to get behind that thing has to be absolutely insane. And there is no protection for the rights of individuals at all. None. without protection for the rights of individuals, the whole, the group, the many, what the socialists call the masses, are never secure either, because the group is made up of individuals. And the thing that reigns supreme in such a system, the state, was created by individuals for their good, for their welfare. I don't mean handout welfare. For their mutual protection. For protection of their individual rights. How is it that this thing that only exists on paper, that was created by the minds of men, comes to be more important than the men who created it? It cannot be. Cannot be. And will not be. As a matter of fact.
Thank you.
I'm back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to open the phones now. I'm going to talk about all of these things for a while. See what you have to think about it. The rest of this week, beginning tomorrow, we're going to get into cooperative federalism and talk about what that means. What's happening in this country? Why are so many people afraid? They're afraid of everything. They're afraid of their government. They're afraid of their boss. They're afraid of the police. They're afraid to stand up and take a stand. They're afraid to be afraid. And that includes, whether you want to admit it or not, most of you listening to this broadcast. If you had your druthers and somebody gave you the money to do what I'm doing, most of you would run like hell to get as far away from any possibility of having to take any personal risk by opening your mouth and telling the truth, because you might get on someone's list. Don't tell me it's not true, folks, because I talk to you all the time. I know it is. Most people, whether they will ever admit it or not, are abject cowards and will never be anything other than abject cowards for their entire life. And if they ever take a stand, it will not be until they see that the majority of the people have taken that same stand, and then they will only do it so that they're not left out. But you see, if the majority of the people take the stand, it's no risk. There is no heroism in that. There's no valor there. There is no responsibleness there. It's merely another way of being politically correct. Isn't that true? 520-333-4578 is the number. The phones are open. Let's discuss these things, ladies and gentlemen. Are you tired of living in a police state? I'm sick of it. I'm so tired of it, I can't stand it. I've been trying to educate people for many, many years so that we would never get this far. It'd never become a police state, but it has. And when libertarians are standing up calling it a police state, because libertarian, ladies and gentlemen, whether you know it or not, is they're not right-wing at all. They don't want less government. Libertarians do not, regardless of what you have been told or what you think, do not want less government. Libertarians want their agenda fulfilled. And most people belong to the Libertarian Party because they have taken a stance on legalizing drugs. That's what he was referring to in here, about how the NERF libertarians are scared to death of the platform that the libertarians wrote not too long ago that called for legalization of drugs. That's what that's all about. 520-333-4578. By the way, it's snowing here in our beautiful White Mountains. It blew like a hurricane or a typhoon all night long. Blew everything that wasn't tied down away, and I mean away. We've looked for some things today and couldn't find them. Gone. Couldn't believe that the three lawn chairs were still there. They're usually the first to go, you know, the plastic white lawn chairs. They were still here. I was amazed. A lot of other things are gone, blown away. And then it rained all morning until just before noon, and it began to snow. And then the snow stopped and the sun came out. And now it's snowing again Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? How can I get a copy of tonight's broadcast?
All you got to do is send in for it. I don't know how much they cost. Annie, are you out there? Annie and Doyle handle all that stuff. If you'll just hang on for a second, I might be able to get a price for you.
Okay, I think it's an excellent broadcast.
Well, thank you.
I want to make copies and send it to every cotton-picking person to know.
Well, good. Good for you. It's, I think they're, how much is the, are you a member?
No, I'm not.
How much is the tape of tonight's broadcast?
$12.
$12. Postpaid. So if you just send us a blank money order or cash in the amount of $12 and tell us you want tonight's broadcast, just mention the date.
What's your address? This is the first time I've heard you.
Oh, it's the hour of the time. Are you writing it down?
Yeah.
In care of 98.5 FM. P.O. Box 940.
Okay.
Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R.
E-A-G-A-R?
That's right. Arizona.
Arizona.
85925. That's how you can get a tape of tonight's broadcast.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
And thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. And don't call right now, though, folks. I just remembered I left the the voicemail on, and I'm going to have to go disconnect that. So I'm going to wait until I do the top-of-the-hour WBCQ thing. Then I'm going to play some music. But then I'm going to go take the voicemail system down. And then we will take your calls and talk about all of these things that we need to be talking about. And we just picked up another listener. Did you hear that? Never heard this broadcast before. The best thing that you can do, ladies and gentlemen, for anybody else who does not listen to shortwave is buy them a shortwave radio for Christmas. And if you want to help this broadcast, you can buy it from us and give it to them. Show them how to use it. Show them how to find English language broadcasts from other countries. And if they speak foreign languages, find out what languages they speak. And show them how to find the broadcasts from those countries in those native languages. And ask them to listen to the hour of the time. And if they like it, they'll become permanent listeners. If not, they'll go on to other things. But no matter whether they listen to this broadcast or not, ladies and gentlemen, the whole world will open up to them, and they will hear things and truths that you never hear in this country because the news is totally controlled. Completely controlled. You will, I guarantee you, discover that sooner or later. If you don't already know it. For all of our listeners in Canada and Mexico and South America and the Caribbean, in Russia, in Europe, Africa, Australia, New Zealand, all of these places where we know we have listeners. You need to start fighting the battle for freedom in your own country. You need to begin an honest and thorough and responsible quest for the truth. You must never stop until you find it. You must listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it. And I mean prove it. And just because it's written in a newspaper or in a book is not proof. That is not proof. If you don't know what proof is, then you better try and discover that first before you start your program or your quest for the truth. And for all of you, you're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. If you'd like to write to the hour of the time, write to the hour.